This podcast is a production of The Orchard, a church community located in Aurora, Illinois, whose mission is leading people into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. Visit us online at orchardvalleyonline.com.
All right, what a song, huh? These guys did a great job, huh? Man, wow. Man, Ken, he was just getting down with him bad self, wasn't he? Man, whew. Okay, so I got a question. How many Oprah fans do we have here this morning? Hey, you don't have to be ashamed. Just raise your hand. How many Oprah fans? Wow, not many. That's unfortunate. I can see why she does so well. But have you ever seen the Oprah show that she does every year called Oprah's Favorite Things? Have you ever seen that? Some of you are like reaching under your chair right now. No. You know what I'm talking about, right? She highlights all of her favorite stuff. And then like the coolest part of the show is she actually gives everybody in the audience one of each item to take home. It's pretty cool. Well, today I thought I would highlight one of Scott's favorite things. That's right. I'm talking about those tiny, colorful, candy-coated pieces of chocolate known as M&Ms. Oh, yeah. I love M&Ms. In fact, when you came in, you should have received some. You said, I figured last weekend we talked about generosity, so I thought I would demonstrate for you just how generous your pastor really is. And so hopefully you got your M&Ms. If you didn't get one, raise your hand, because we'll get one, or grab one off the chair by you. And if you already took two, okay, you're going to hell. I mean, that's I'm just kidding. It felt so good to say that. I don't know why. It was weird. Oh, man. And I just have to know, are there any hardcore M&M fans here? Like, really? Wow. Is that right? You guys are, okay, here, I'll tell you what. This bag is for you, because I think you're going to need some extra. So here, you guys can have that.
Thank you.
And by the way, you can go ahead and eat your M&Ms. In fact, I really do want you to eat them, okay? So feel free to eat them. It's okay while I'm teaching. That's not going to bother me. Just don't chomp real loud, because that gets a little bit annoying. But don't worry. Go ahead and eat them. Go ahead and open them up. Make a lot of noise. That's fine. May I have the case, please? Let's give it up for her, huh? Thank you very much. So, you know, those little bags just don't cut it for me. So I have my own supply of M&Ms this morning. Pretty cool dress, by the way. That kind of blinded me. Speaking of M&Ms, did you know that there's actually imposter M&Ms out there? I'm serious. They're a generic brands of M&Ms, and they're horrible. Don't ever buy them for me, okay? But it's true. And do you know how you can tell the difference between the generic M&Ms and the real M&Ms? It's easy. Look at the M&M in your hand. What does it have on there? It's got an M, right? It's got an M. That's how you can tell the difference. And if you look at the bag, there are two M's, aren't there? M&M. Does anybody know what those two M's stand for? No. Well, I do, because I did a little bit of chocolate research this weekend, and I discovered that the two M's stand for Mars and Murray. Mars and Murray. Mars and Murray are the founders of the company that produces M&Ms. And that concludes today's sermon. God bless you. We'll see you. Just kidding. You're really getting filled with a lot of knowledge today. But hey, let's just say, for the sake of a good sermon illustration, let's pretend that those two M's on that bag stand for something different than Mars and Murray. Let's say those two M's stand for money and material possessions. That's right, money and material possessions. You know what's really funny about that is when I said money and material possessions, I saw a bunch of you hold on to your bag of M&Ms a lot tighter right when I said that. Kidding. M&Ms. Money and material possessions. We all have them, don't we? We all have them. In fact, some of us have huge amounts of M&Ms. Some of us have perhaps medium-sized piles of M&Ms in our lives. And then there are some of us that have maybe just a tiny little pile of M&Ms. But the fact is, we all have M&Ms. We all have money and material possessions, which is probably why God has so much to say to us about our M&Ms. Did you know that? That's right, the Bible has so much to say to us about our money and our material possessions. As a matter of fact, statistically, the Bible actually says more about our M&Ms, our money and our material possessions, than about the subject of heaven and hell combined. Did you know that? And not only that, the Bible says more about your money and how you handle your money than the subjects of faith and prayer combined. Which tells me that we better pay attention to what the Bible says about our M&Ms. And you know, not only does the Bible talk a lot about our M&Ms, but the Bible also says some pretty straightforward things about our stuff, about our money, about our material possessions. In fact, one of those places is found in the book of Matthew. If you have your Bibles, let's go there today. Matthew. Matthew's the first book in the New Testament. And can anybody guess who wrote Matthew? Okay, that would be Matthew. You guys are catching on. Matthew, and I want to read to you a section of Scripture in Matthew chapter 6. Jesus, here in this passage, is talking about money, and he says several things, and you can read it when you have time, but when you get to verse 21, he sort of sums up everything he's saying by these words. Listen carefully. Matthew chapter 6, verse 21, he says this, Jesus, he says, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Can we read that together? Let's read it. Ready? "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Very, very simple statement, yet extremely profound, isn't it? I mean, it's a very black and white statement by Jesus. He says, where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. In other words, Jesus is saying that your heart will follow your money. Your heart will follow your money. Our hearts and our treasures, our money, our bling bling, okay, whatever you want to call it, it's connected. And they cannot be separated. Your heart and your money are connected. And if you think about it, you know that's true, don't you? I mean, just think about it. For example, let's say that tomorrow you went out and you poured, let's say, you know, pretty much everything you own, you know, all your cash, all your money. Let's say you poured all of your money, every dime to your name, as a matter of fact, into some company's stock. Well, guess what? I promise you, that if you went out and did that tomorrow, I promise you that you would find yourself extremely interested in that company, wouldn't you? Oh, of course. You may not even know much about them, but the minute you dump a bunch of your money into that company, you're going to discover that you have a passion for that company. Oh, that's right. You want that company to do well. You know why? Because your heart just got engaged in three or four little letters on your computer screen. Your heart will follow your money. And even though you may not know much about what that company does, one thing you do know is you want them to do well, don't you? Oh, absolutely. You want them to do well. Man, the CEO of that company gets the sniffles. Oh, you are FedEx and some chicken noodle soup to him. Because you want that company to do well, right? Because again, where your treasure goes, your heart goes, your thinking goes, your attention goes. Which means that the handling of your stuff, the handling of your money, of your material possessions, is a very, very spiritual issue. Very spiritual. Now, there's another spot that Jesus says another statement that's very straightforward, found in Luke chapter 16. Luke is the third book in the New Testament, and Jesus, in this chapter, he's talking about money. He's talking about our material possessions. And in Luke chapter 16, verse 3, he makes this really radical statement about our money. He says this, look at this. No one can serve two masters, for you will hate one and love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. And then he says this, you cannot serve both God and money. So Jesus says, look, no one can serve two masters. You will hate one and love the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Now, I don't know about you, but that scripture kind of throws me off a little bit. And here's why, okay? Let's say, okay, just for the sake of conversation here today, let's say that you take that last line that Jesus said, you cannot serve both God and money. You take that line and you get rid of the word money out of that sentence. So let's say it says you cannot serve both God and blank. Now, don't you think there'd be a lot other words that would fit better in that sentence than money? I mean, think about that for a second. What's the opposite of following God? I mean, if you were to sit down and think, what's the opposite of following God? What would you say? Well, maybe following the devil? Maybe following myself? But what does Jesus say? No, he says it's money. He says you can't serve both God and money. The implication being that the opposite of serving God is serving our money, our material possessions. You know, it's almost like Jesus is saying, look, listen, the number one competitor for your heart, okay, are you ready for this, is your M&Ms. The number one competitor for your heart is money and material possessions. In other words, the number one competition in your life is not the devil, it's not somebody, it is our money. And so perhaps the reason that Jesus talks so much about this is because he understands that this tends to be a tough area for so many of us. And that's why Jesus says, he says, look, I don't want just to be the Lord of your, or the savior of your soul, or the savior of your mind, or the savior of your emotions. Jesus says, I want to be the savior of all of you, which means that he wants to be the savior of our money. He wants to be the savior and the Lord and the leader of our money and our material possessions. And yet, at the same time, for many of us, it's that right there. It's our M&Ms that seem to be the toughest part of our lives to surrender to him, isn't it? I mean, it can be hard, can't it? Which should just prove to us even further that the handling of our money is a very spiritual issue. The fact that it is so hard for us to surrender that area of our lives proves to us it's a very spiritual issue. I mean, think about it. You pray about your money, don't you? Oh, yeah. Well, how about this? If you woke up tomorrow and you found out that all your money, you lost everything, what would you do? You would pray. Oh, yeah, you would pray, wouldn't you? Oh, yes, you would. You would pray. You'd pray hard. God, help me. If you woke up tomorrow and everything you own was gone, God, provide for me. And you might even find yourself praying one of those really spiritual prayers. God, I just want to surrender it all to you right now. God, just take it. Jesus, just take it, Lord. And God's like, well, you don't really have anything anymore. And you're saying, yeah, I know, that's why I'm surrendering it to you. Because it's easy now, right? Because there's nothing now except, a load of debt. And so, okay, I know, so I'm going to take all my debt and the results of all of my bad decisions and maybe some things that I didn't have control over, and I'm just going to surrender it to God. And God is saying, wow, that is so generous. Wow, that's amazing. But you know what? Of course I'll help you. Of course I care. But why didn't you do that while things were good? Well, because things were good. See, no wonder that Jesus spent so much time talking about money. Because it's a very spiritual issue. And it's a part of our lives that so many of us struggle with when it comes to surrendering our lives to him. And the truth is, I think for many of us, we prove that to ourselves over and over and over again, don't we? We prove that to ourselves. We prove it to God, especially when it comes to one of the most basic ways that we show God that we really do want him to lead this area of our life, which occurs when God asks us for some of our M&Ms. You know, my daughter, Julia, she's 3 years old. She's very different from, she's different. And she's very different from, especially from our 8-year-old. Our 8-year-old, you know, she's not a real candy person, but our 3-year-old, holy smokes, she's like, she could be like the poster child for sugar. You know what I'm saying? Seriously. She should be like on the box of the most sugary cereal you can find. Like, put her face right there, you know? It's like, and I kid you not, there are days when I come home and I walk through that door, and you know, dads, how great it feels like when your kid is like, Daddy! You know, and I'll walk in the door, and Julie be like, Daddy! And she'll start running towards me, and so I just like, I just kind of kneel down. I'm feeling good. I'll kneel down, put my arms wide open, and get ready, and I'm just standing there, my lips puckered, getting ready to give her a kiss. You know, what does she do? She runs straight towards me, and she digs right into my pockets and starts asking, got any candy, Dad? Got any candy? No hug. No kiss. All she wants is some candy. I'll never forget one time I came home, bag of M&Ms in my pocket, because I like M&Ms. And so, you know, being the caring, loving father that I am, I walk inside and she's standing there looking at me, what's in your pocket, Dad? I see something in your pocket. What's in your pocket? And I said, Julie, would you like some M&Ms? Yeah, Dad. I need them. I need them. So I pulled out that bag of M&Ms, and I kid you not, within a nanosecond of time, she grabs that bag of M&Ms, and she runs. She just books. I mean, she's gone. A few minutes later, I walk in, you know, in the living room. She's sitting on the couch just chomping away. Like a chipmunk, like her cheeks, you know. Like it was like it was the last bag of M&Ms on planet Earth. You know, she's like, these are my M&Ms. And so a few minutes go by, and I'm sitting down on the other side. Hey, Julia, did you bring your dad some M&Ms? Nothing. Silence. Hey, Julia, hey, so bring your dad some M&Ms, okay? What does she do? No lie, she closes her eyes and goes like this. Puts her hand out to her dad. Talk to the hand, Dad. And when I found out who taught her that, they're dead meat, okay? And so this time I don't ask. The third time, no more asking. It's, hey, Julia. Bring me the M&Ms now. You have 3 seconds. 1, 2. She jumps off the couch. She's got the M&Ms in her hand. She walks over to me, and she goes like this, and she runs out of the room with the M&Ms. Oh. So, you know, like we say here, our staff, I had myself a really good coaching opportunity with my 3-year-old that day. But have you ever thought about how sometimes we do the same thing with God? You know, God asks us, hey, give me just a few. I just want a few of those M&Ms. And what do you think our reaction is a lot of the time, huh? Oh, God, please. Okay, God, look, there's a lot of things in my life that I'd be happy to give you, okay? You can even have my husband, okay? You can have my kids, but please not my M&Ms. And what does God say? Hey, do you know who made those M&Ms to begin with? Huh? Who do you think gave you those M&Ms? I did. And see, if God wanted to, okay, because after all, God is all-powerful, he is omnipotent. If he wanted to, he could, in one foul swoop, boom, take every M&M from you and me just like that. But we also forget the fact that if God wanted to, he could also rain down so many M&Ms in our lives that we would not even know what to do with them all. And so the question for us, and really the question we're asking in this series, is how do I learn how to handle my M&Ms? How do I learn to handle my money and my material possessions in a way that pleases God? Because again, what does God say? He says your heart and your money are connected, and you cannot serve both. You cannot serve God and money. You have to make a decision. Yet we also know how hard it is, don't we? So what can we do about it? I mean, how do we change the way we handle our money? Well, I think the answer to that is it begins by changing the way we think about our money. Because don't you agree that the way we think about something determines how we act? And so it has to start with the way we think. How do we think about our money? Well, I want to take a minute. I want to show you a story that Jesus once told his followers that I think just lays out so well for us how we should be thinking about our money and our material possessions. So again, let's go to Matthew chapter 25. And this is a story that Jesus is telling, and let me just read it to you. Matthew 25, verse 14, it says this: "The kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of a man going on a long trip. He called together his servants and entrusted his money to them while he was gone. And then it says this: he gave 5 bags of silver to one, he gave 2 bags of silver to another, and 1 bag of silver to the last. And so this man, okay, he's going on this trip, and it says he calls his servants together, and he entrusts them with what? His money, right? His M&Ms, his stuff. And he leaves. Well, eventually, the owner shows back up and checks in on how they did. What'd they do with it? And we're told that the servant who was given 5 bags went out and invested that and ended up doubling and ended up with 10 bags of silver. And it said, the scriptures tell us, the master was very pleased and rewarded him. And then we're told the guy that was given 2 bags of silver did the exact same thing. He went out, he invested it, and he doubled it, and the master was very pleased and rewarded him. But the third servant, not quite. Let's look. Matthew 25, 24, look at this. "Then the servant with 1 bag of silver came and said, 'Master, I knew you were a harsh man, harvesting crops you didn't plant and gathering crops you didn't cultivate. I was afraid I would lose your money, so I hid it in the earth. Look, here is your money back.' Verse 26, 'But the master replied, You wicked and lazy servant, if you knew I harvested crops I didn't plant and gathered crops I didn't cultivate, why didn't you deposit my money in the bank? At least I could have gotten some interest on it.' And then he ordered, 'Take the money from this servant and give it to the one with the 10 bags of silver.'" And then in verse 29, in fact, let's read this one together. Are you ready? Verse 29, here we go. "To those who use well what they are given, even more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who do nothing, even what little they have will be taken away." Everybody say, wow. You know, the story is just so profound on so many levels. Let's back up for a second. One servant is given 5 bags of silver. Another one is given 2 bags of silver. And another one is given 1 bag. Let me ask you a question. How did they get those bags of silver? How'd they get them? Did they just run across them in some alley somewhere? Did they somehow manufacture the bags of silver? How'd they get them? Did they rob a bank? And that's how they got their bags of silver? No. How did they get their bags of silver, huh? The master gave them the bags of silver, right? We just read that. The master gave them, which means that when it comes to the M&Ms in our life, when it comes to the money, when it comes to the material possessions, all the stuff, all the things, all the wealth, all the prosperity that comes into our lives, we have to remember that it all comes to us from God. It all comes to us from God. Now, in your service guide, if you take that out, there's a spot to write a couple things down. Now, I realize that for many of you, this is the first time you've heard these types of things. And so for you, I would love for you to write these things down and to go home, look up the scriptures, chew on it a little bit, wrestle with it a little bit, let God talk to you about it. So write that down if you would. The first thing is this: it all comes from God. Would you say that with me? It all comes from God. Now, this is just so huge. Listen, part of the reason I think that this is so important for us to remember is because of the tendency that we have so often to look at things like our jobs, our investments, or our personal financial situations, to look at those things in our life and see those as the source of provision and prosperity in our lives. Which is fine and dandy until you lose that job, or your investments tank, or your personal financial situation starts looking a little bleak. But, listen, if you understand that ultimately everything you have comes from God, and if you really trust that He is your source and that He is your provider, listen, if that is where you put your trust, then guess what? If your job does become unstable, okay, or if you do hit a financial crisis in your life or or whatever it might be, instead, if you put your trust in God and you see Him as your source, instead of being limited to your resources and your solutions, you now become limited to God's resources and God's solutions, which are, in fact, unlimited. And I'll tell you what, I would much rather rely on God's unlimited supply and resources than on yours or mine, which are limited. I hope you're getting this. So the attitude that God wants us to have, first and foremost, when it comes to the stuff, the M&Ms, the money, the material possessions in my life, is that, look, God is my source because it all comes from Him. And look, your job, that's great. Your investments, your pension, whatever it is you're living on, listen, those are simply channels that God chooses to use to bring blessing into your life. They are channels, but they are not your source. They're channels. God is your source. It all comes from God. Everyone say, that's good news. What are we, in a Presbyterian church this morning? We love the Presbyterians. Second thing we need to remember. I'm going to get a water gun. Listen. Here's the other thing. This is huge. Not only does it all come from God, but even when He brings those M&Ms into our lives, even when He brings the money, the material, the blessings, whatever it is, even when He brings it, guess what? They're still His. They are still His. Think about the story we just read. The master gives the servants the wealth, but do they ever take ownership of it? No. Why? Because it's not theirs. And so here's the thing. If we're going to handle our M&Ms in our lives in a way that's pleasing to God, we have to remember that not only does it all come to us from God, but we also have to remember that even when it does come to us, that it still all belongs to God. It all belongs to God. Scott, are you saying we can't enjoy the M&Ms? No, of course I'm not saying that. You can. In fact, God wants you to enjoy the M&Ms in your life as long as you don't forget whose they are. God wants you to enjoy them as long as you don't forget whose they are. So, it all comes from God. The second thing I want you to write down is it all belongs to God. And I'm convinced that we have to constantly remind ourselves of that, because isn't it easy to forget that it's not yours? It is so easy to forget that all this stuff in my life is not mine. I forget it all the time. And so we have to remind ourselves. You know, there's a scripture in Psalm chapter 24 that is a scripture that Gosh, I think every one of us should just memorize this and wake up every day and make this the first thing we say, because I think it would change our perspective. Look at this, Psalm 24:1. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. The world and all its people belong to him. Do you see the key words? The earth is the Lord's and what? Everything. Everything in it. The world and what? All its people belong to him. It all belongs to God. Do you know what that means? That means that God is not limited like you and I are limited. And it means that all of it belongs to him, which means then that my role in handling my wealth, my stuff, my money, my M&Ms, my role is not one of an owner, but of a manager. I am a manager of God's stuff. And so the last thing I want you to write down in your notes is this: I am a manager, not an owner. I am a manager, not an owner. Do you realize how screwed up we get when we start acting like the owner? Imagine doing that at your workplace if you're not the owner. It will really mess things up. I mean, if you think about it, if you go all the way back to the beginning of time, if you think about God's first words to Adam and Eve, what was it about? It was about stewardship, wasn't it? It was about management. It was, hey, look, take care of my garden. Take care of my garden, my garden, my garden. Enjoy it. Have fun. See that tree over there? Don't touch that tree. Because when you don't touch that tree, what that says to me is that you're still remembering that it's not yours, but that it's all mine. Honor me by staying away from that tree. I mean, there's a big difference between being the owner and the manager. The owner owns it. He can do what he wants with it. The manager, no, The manager or the steward is simply the one who's held accountable for how well they took care of somebody else's stuff. And see, that's our role as managers. It's not to be owners. See, I put a couple phrases in your notes that might be helpful. An owner says, it's all mine, right? It's all mine. A manager says, it's all his. And an owner says, hey, look, when it comes to spending, when it comes to using my money, my stuff, I do it however I want. It's my decision. But a manager says, okay, when it comes time to spending, guess what? It's not my decision, it's his decision. And I'll tell you what, in other words, listen, God cares how you spend your money. He cares where you put your money. He cares how you invest your money. He cares about how you use your money, because it's not yours, it's his. He cares how I spend it. He cares how I use it, how I invest it. And not only does he care, but the scriptures say, look, at the end of the day, not only are you and I supposed to be managers or stewards, but we are to be faithful stewards. We are to be faithful stewards. So, it all comes from God, right? It all belongs to God. And I'm not an owner, I am a manager. Now, let's go back to the story as we close, all right? These three servants were given some M&Ms to manage. And Jesus makes it very clear that they were managers, not owners. And he also makes it very clear that there will come a day when they will give an account of how well they manage their stuff. And the fact is, you and I will be held accountable for how well we managed our stuff. And not just our money, but we will be held accountable as to how well we managed our time, our talent. Our time doesn't belong to us, it belongs to God. Our talent, your talent you have, does not belong to you, it belongs to God. Your treasure, your time, your talent, your treasure. There is coming a day, listen to me, there's coming a day when God, okay, the true owner of all the stuff, will do a complete review of how well every one of us managed his stuff. And it's not one of these, well, shame on you for enjoying it. No, because God wants us to enjoy the blessings that he brings into our lives. And it's not going to be, should I let you into heaven or not, because I don't think you handled your money like you should. No. What gets you into eternity with God is your faith. You didn't earn that. But there will come a time when you and I will stand before God. And we'll give an account of how well we handled our resources. So here's a question. If that review were to occur as this coming week, let's say Tuesday. Let's say Tuesday is the day. You're going to give an account. How would you feel about that? This coming Tuesday, you're going to give an account of how well you have been managing the money and the material possessions that God has entrusted you with. How would you feel about that? Perhaps some of us might say, you know, Scott, I think I'd feel pretty good, to tell you the truth. I haven't been perfect. I've enjoyed it, but I've been very generous. I've blessed others with it. I have been wise with it. I think I'm ready. Or would you say, this is not good. This is not good. The sermon was great up until you got to this point right here, Scott. Is there any way I could have more time? Because Tuesday's, you know, it's right around the corner. Like maybe a year, maybe two. And so let's say God agreed to that. Let's say God said, okay, I tell you what. It was going to be Tuesday. I'm going to change it now. I'm going to give you a year. Okay, so what that means is that will give every one of us in this place a fresh start from today. A year to show God that we have learned to be faithful and we have learned to be good stewards. It doesn't happen overnight, but it begins by recognizing the things we've just talked about. And so here's what I guess I'm asking and what I want to challenge us to. See, I think what happens is we don't think of it in those terms, but we think we always have more time. We think, well, you know, when this finally happens or when I finally get to this place, then I'll really take this whole stewardship thing seriously. And God says, no, you've got to start it now. Now is the time. And so I want to ask you to do a couple of things today. First of all, I want you to take out your wallets. Oh, I'm serious. Take out your wallets. Take out your purses. Go ahead, get them out. I know some of you are sweating right now. You're like, is he going to take an offering? No. No, I'm not. But you know, actually, it's not a bad idea. Could we have the welcome teams? I'm just kidding. But I want you to take out your wallets. I want you to take out your purses, okay? And what I want you to do is this. Take your wrapper, your M&M's wrapper, and fold that in half. And if you haven't eaten your M&M's, just open that puppy up and just throw them in your mouth and take your wrapper and fold that in half. And here's what I want you to do. I want you to put that wrapper in a place where you will see it every time you reach in for your credit card, your cash, your checkbook, whatever it is. Listen, I want you to put that wrapper in a place where you will see it every day this week. Because here's the thing. I want that wrapper with those two big words, with the two big letters, the M&M. I want this wrapper to serve as a reminder to you and to me that all of our M&Ms, all of our money, all of our material possessions belong to God. So did you put that in a place where you'll see it? Put it in there. And I want you to look at that. And I want that to serve as a reminder. And hopefully what will happen is this will help us to begin thinking differently. But more importantly, hopefully it will get us beyond just thinking differently to actually living differently, spending differently, using our M&Ms differently. So would you do that? And secondly, here's the other thing. If you're sitting here today and you're like me and you start thinking about the fact that you will give an account, it's a little bit unsettling. And even if you think you're pretty good at how you've done, you realize I could do better. Here's what I want to ask you to do. If you're serious about this, I want to ask you to do whatever you need to do to be here next weekend. Because I'm going to challenge you with something next weekend that I believe will change your life. And if you've been around here, you know I don't sit up here and say things like that often. I don't sit up here and say, this will change, you know, you're going to instantly be changed. And I'm not even really saying that, but this will eventually, what I'm going to talk to you about next weekend will change your life. God guarantees that it will change your life. In fact, here's the thing. I believe this so much that next week, and I'm going to take a huge risk, and I'm going to do something I've never done before. That's how much I believe in what we're talking about in this series. So I want you to be here. I want you to make a decision. So I want you to take that wrapper, put it where you'll see it, and I want you to come back next weekend. I don't want you to miss it. So let me close with a question. What's in your case? What's in your case? Is it a lot? Is it a little? Is it a medium amount of M&Ms? What's in your case? Listen, no matter how much it is, may we as a community remember that it all comes from God and that it all belongs to God and that I'm a manager, not an owner, and that He is my source. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Let's pray. God, you know, it would be very easy to avoid talking about money because it's a sensitive subject for a lot of us. And, you know, we've heard it all. Churches are known to just want your money, and we've all seen the real lousy examples on TV of people who have abused money in the church and all of that. But, God, none of that changes the fact that you say so much about it. And we just believe, God, that we can't pick and choose what we want to believe and how we want to live. We believe we have to open up the scriptures. And we believe that when you say that you want to be the savior of our life, you don't desire just to be the savior of the easy parts of our life. You want to be the savior of all of us, all of our lives, including our money. So God, would you help us? God, would you help us in the way we think about our M&Ms? God, would you help us to remember that it all comes from you? Because God, I know there's going to come a time in every one of our lives where we're going to probably run into some financial hardships or some challenges. And in those moments, God, if we see you as our source, boy, is it going to give us some hope. God, help us to remember also that it all belongs to you. Everything, the clothes on my back, the car that I drive, money in my wallet, everything, my home, it all belongs to you. And you have given it to us to manage well. So would you help us to remember that we are not owners, we are managers. God, today, help us just to make that decision that we're going to live our lives for you and that we're not going to hold back this area just because it's hard, just because it's challenging. No, no, God, we want to give our lives to you. We want to give our lives to you, including this area of our M&Ms. God, we give it to you. And we thank you for your blessings in our lives. Help us to remember that you bless us to be a blessing to others. In Christ's name, amen.